The story untold. Links between Australian Aboriginal and ancient Indian tribes. And they roamed the earth undivided, shaping their destiny, sharing their dreams, their fears and tears, living in harmony. Did peoples from southern India come to Australia along the coasts of Southeast Asia some 4,000 years ago? Recent DNA analysis says they did. Scientists have found a genetic link between ancient southern Indian tribes and the Aboriginal peoples of northern Australia. The new DNA evidence comes on top of anthropological observations as far back as the 1850s, which pointed to physical similarities between the two peoples. In this part of our look into the recent body of evidence pointing to deep links between prehistoric India and Australia, we go beyond the science and speak to the people who believe that Indian settlers who arrived in Australia some 4,000 years ago left behind more than just a trace of their DNA in the art, languages and spiritual symbolism of Indigenous Australia. For so many Australians, the dingo is a cultural icon. Dingoes have a prominent role in Aboriginal culture and feature in stories, ceremonies, and cave paintings. In stark contrast to Australia's famous marsupials, until the time of European colonization, dingoes were the largest wild placental mammals. Based on fossil remains, it's long been assumed that the species was introduced from Southeast Asia some 4,000 years ago. But before DNA was used, researchers weren't sure of the dingo's exact lineage. But experts with the Indian National Trust for Art and Cultural Heritage at Hazaribagh in the Indian state of Jharkhand, Bulu Imam, has long believed in an Indian origin for the dingo. According to Bulu, the close resemblance of the dingo to Indian Santhal hounds, known as pariahs, points to a common ancestor. His theory has been supported in the last decade with DNA evidence suggesting a common origin from a single Southeast Asian gene pool for most ancient dog breeds, including the dingo, the New Guinea singing dog, and the pariah.
Obviously, it is a direct importation of the Asian pariah into the Australian continent at a fairly recent date, because the DNA tests that have come from the Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm showed that the Indian pariah is the same dog as the Indo-Polynesian breeds. And more recent dating has shown in China that the small Chinese wolf south of the Yangtze is the progenitor of the Asian pariah. DNA testing, which is conclusive evidence.
Bulu believes that the dingo is the direct descendant of the Indian pariah, which was taken by Indian hunters and gatherers to Australia 4,000 years ago. This is not the only physical evidence that he believes links prehistoric India to Australia. The prominence of star formations depicting the Southern Cross in Southern Indian and Australian Aboriginal rock art is significant. The cross motif depicting the Southern Cross is one of the earliest examples of rock art in the Kakadu National Park. It's also common in central and southern India.
The cross in a circle, what you call the Sun Cross, is first found in the world in the Kakadu National Park in Australia in northern Arnhem Land at 40,000 BC. Now, this is very interesting, because the Sun Cross, that is the circle with a cross in it, is found all over the world now. In Jharkhand, it is a very, very common sign, symbol for marriage among these tribes. It is also found in the Mesochalcolithic rock art of many parts of India, including Jharkhand in Hazaribagh. This was 40,000 years ago. Then I believe there could have been a cultural migration of the symbols into India during several periods. It's not just 2,000 years ago that there was contact between India and Australia, because we have to consider it in the context of anthropological and archaeological evidence that there was proto-Australoid migration out of Australia, which did come in parts to India, and archaeological evidence that there was proto-Australoid migration out of Australia, which did come in parts to India.
Indians in Australia are also focusing on shared spiritual symbols. Prem Mishra, a Hindu scholar with the Sri Mukti Gupteshwar Mandir Society in Greater Sydney, says Indian scriptures from the 1st and 2nd millennium BC refer to Australia as Shakadweep and describe the inhabitants as well.
If you study the Shatrudra Sanhita, which is also part of Shiv Puran, there's also very vivid description of Australia in various names, Australid, Australika. So quite a few names have been appearing in our ancient scriptures.
Prem Mishra interprets the scriptures to mean that Indians at that time knew the great southern continent and considered Aboriginal Australians as part of their cultural world.
In Hindu scriptures, the Aborigines or the Adivasis of Australia have been very specifically defined as Vedic people. So the question comes, why Vedic people? There's a very strong reason in that in ancient time, Vedic people used to worship three main aspects. That was Mother Earth, and they used to worship snake, and also the fire. And the Aborigines of Australia, they are also worshippers of Mother Earth, the snake. In fact, the rainbow snake serpent theory is that mythical snake which links the Mother Earth to the heaven. That's their belief.
According to Vedic Hindu beliefs, the tail of the mythical snake is thought to protrude at the North Pole and its head is wrapped around the Australian continent.
That mythical snake which protects our being destroyed on this planet, its main part is positioned around Australia. So that's how its spirituality is described in our ancient scriptures. And that mythical snake, which is regarded as a rainbow serpent, is worshipped by Aborigines as well.
Prem Mishra also believes that the great Australian landmark, Uluru, is referred to in ancient scriptures as the Ganapati Shila. Ganesha or Ganpati is the elephant-headed god whom Hindus worship as the remover of all obstacles. He says, viewed at a certain angle, Uluru looks like a mighty elephant at rest. He also points out that the ancient Indian word Uru means a high or important place. But if Australia has left its mark on India, are there traces of India in the cultures and symbols of Australia? Besides holding the earth and the rainbow serpent in reverence, some communities of Aboriginal Australians, like the Hindus, also hold water sacred. Aboriginal Australian Bernard Valadian works closely with Aboriginal communities in Northern Territory.
Many years ago when we'd noticed on one of the islands, if the elder people would go into a waterhole, they would sing out before they got there and ask for, just say, look, we're coming down, we're not going to be injuring you. And they'd make peace with the water before they went to it. I was very surprised when the first time I heard it, because these people didn't know I was in the vicinity as they were going towards the water, and they were just sort of offering peace, and you know, in return they would get cleansed.
Aboriginal Australian and archaeologist Mark Duguay-Grist is from Western Victoria. He says Dreamtime stories and other oral traditions of the Aboriginal communities do tell tales of people from faraway lands coming to their country.
We have stories that have people coming from the stars. We have stories of people coming from overseas on ships. So we do have stories. There's mythical stories, or well, maybe they're called mythical stories, but there's stories down in the Western District of Victoria where people have come from overseas, little people.
It's not just in stories. Bulu Imam at the Indian National Trust for Art and Cultural Heritage believes the ancient Indians have left footprints in Indigenous Australian languages.
I have done a lot of study on the comparison of languages, and I'm not surprised that hundreds and hundreds of root words are more or less exactly the same, unchanged. Now, whether that is due to a Paleolithic root or whether it is due to a contact maybe in the deep past, 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, that would need to have a lot of deep study done. The Koori dances of Australia. Well, we have the Koori dances here too, done the same way. You put your arm around the companion's waist and 10 people get into a line and they jump and sing around the fire.
Using Margaret Sharp's Macquarie Aboriginal words, Bulu has documented many similar words in Bundjalung language spoken in the Northern Rivers area of New South Wales and the language of the Birhors, which is spoken by a little-known jungle tribe of Chota Nagpur in India. For example, the word naked in Birhori is Nanga. It's the same in Bundjalung. The word for woman is Kuri in both languages. Topsy-turvy is exactly the same, Palti. Even basic vocabulary is the same. Father in Bundjalung is Baban, and in Birhori it is Baba. The word new in both languages is Nia. The word good is Bugal. Bulu believes that these words could share a common origin. Did the peoples from southern India arrive in the glaring heat of the Australian summer when the sun was at its zenith and the wombats and possums were fast asleep? Did the kookaburras laugh when they chanced upon this land? Or did they sail along the coastlines and arrive on a moonlit winter night as the skies above were ablaze with the Southern Cross? In the first part of this report, we looked at the DNA evidence that points to an influx of peoples from southern India to Australia. In part two, we've looked beyond the science and shared the perspectives of those who believe that ancient Indians and Australian Aboriginals have left their mark on each other's art, culture, and spiritual symbolism. There's still a lot of research to be done. That's the opinion of Senior Research Fellow at the University of Sydney, geneticist Nitin Saxena, who's advocating for more research across the borders.
So this admixture needs sort of more support of Aboriginal population and also the restrictions we have in India with the tribal populations to obtain genetic material. I think it has to be a global cooperation if we ever want to study the secrets of our ancient people from both lands.
Aboriginal Australian and archaeologist Mark Dugek-Grist agrees. He thinks that more needs to be done to convince the Australian Aboriginal community that DNA research deserves their help.
I think my people in the future will be more comfortable with the genotyping and the DNA, as there's already a shift in that. And I think that the quicker we get involved in this gift, as I see it, thinking out loud, Aboriginal people, when we deal with blood and hair and even mucus and things like that, that's a very spiritual thing. So I would hope that my people would get on board with the DNA in the future.
Bulu Imam at the Indian National Trust for Art and Cultural Heritage believes that now that the genetic and historic connections have been made, the link between India and Australia's indigenous cultures will flourish.
I, of course, have had a very privileged interaction with Australian Aboriginal artists and their work. And what I would like to say is that when we went in 2000, and I took six artists from India, women artists who interacted with Aboriginal artists in Sydney, there was an immediate electric unification, you could say, between the two, as if people of a common ancestry had met, like as if some blood connection, some psychological unity immediately. There was this understanding that the two people were not different. Again, I say, was that due to contact? Was it due to contact in the past? Was it due to a common genetic ancestry? It is all these things put together. I don't think it is any one of them.
Marcus Aurelius, Rome's philosopher emperor, said, "All things fade away, become stuff of legend, and are soon buried in oblivion." Now, DNA tests, archaeologists and cultural historians are showing us an extensive, complex history of contact hitherto unimagined by us in the modern world. And a long untold story has not been lost, but reveals itself to be living till today amongst us.